Mama.
Maman.
Mom.
Mommy.
Mommy.
This is Mother Mine. Reflections on our mothers and how they've shaped us from ordinary people across the globe. 1. Fruits.
Well, believe me, what I remember most about my mom is her struggles. Struggles to find me an identity, as we call it. To give me a name. You know, in our society, for a male child, you had a voice, you had a name based on your male parent, your father. The father gave a child an identity. I don't have much memory of my mother before age 6, but it is at age 6 that I have these memory of my mom and my stepfather, actually them arguing. It was an argument that took the intervention of 2 policemen that came on 2 bicycles. So one policeman decided that my stepfather should carry him on one of the bicycles as they made their way back to the police station. What followed is that my stepfather escaped and disappeared with the policeman's bicycle. Then I found out that, you know, he had stolen bags of rice. My mom was a business lady and sold them to one of my mom's friends. So I think right now I can really understand why my mom decided to take me to my grandparents to stay with them. So most of my schooling actually I did at my grandparents' place, that is her parents. And for me, the school was the most hostile environment at that particular moment. I always wanted to stay home with my caring grandma. Bullying was real and most of it was physical. Moreover, learners always had in their possession sharp tools like pangas. We carried them from home as the school system required us to spend some time working on our teachers' farms and cleaning the school compound. And that significantly contributed to the hostility of the school environment. It was the only government school in the entire village. Learners all were always having groups and the groups were based on their clans or family group. And a father, like I said, was key at giving male kids their identity, that is home. So home was where your father was born. I did not belong because that was not my home. So I missed out on activities like that I loved most, like soccer, other childhood games like discussion groups, until what followed is loss of interest and also being good at pretending to be okay when actually I was not. Of course, the search for identity, trying to belong, made me question those that I was staying with. Where is my father? Why is it that I don't have a father? Well, according to my grandmother, he passed on a few years after I was born and almost 4 years after him divorcing my mother and collecting back the dowry that he had paid. So my mother was out in the city trying to make ends meet and take care of all of us. That is my grandparents and me. So whenever she came, it was like Christmas. We had a good meal. I got new clothes and supplies. My grandparents settled almost all their debts. This is something beautiful, beautiful memory I have of my mom. So after some time, life at school became unbearable and I had to adapt and protect myself and find a way to fit in. So I became aggressive. I fought back and got hurt in the process. And my mother knew she had to do something about it. She took me with her the city and introduced me to another stepdad. I was so happy. So I really think much of her when I realized how much she, you know, changed my life, got me from that misery of trying to fit in to now introduce me to somebody like a father figure, stepdad. I was really happy. At last I had some sense of belonging, a father, and hence a name. I got better at school. Everything seemed so well and we were all happy as a family until the year 2004 when my mother got sick. But still, well, my stepfather was there. So my stepfather took her to the hostel far away and they lasted 2 weeks and came back when my mother got better. It took me time to realize that my mother had, well, a condition that explains why I'm the only child. She had an ectopic pregnancy and she lost her child, that was supposedly my brother, I guess, in the process of her surgery. And not only did she lose her child, she also lost her ability to ever give birth again. My mom suffered rejection from my stepfather's family. At first, my stepfather stayed true to her and took good care of her, but it was just a matter of time that all that changed. And I think most of it is because of her being considered, you know, fruitless or something. One reason for marriage was for procreation, but then she lost that ability. So to my stepdad's family, then she had no value as a wife, right? So my dad left us at home alone and remarried one of his mistresses, and we got a baby boy. And a baby boy in the society was like a gold. A baby boy was much value, had much value in the society. That was the true heir, right? And, you know, I think he had much value than me, because actually I wasn't the biological child. I really knew where my biological father came from, and I tried to retrace my roots, and I got my roots, and I went back there. But she didn't like that. And that's when she explained to me that in our traditions, when somebody's married you and then comes back and pick the dowry, the only message they're communicating is that they'd have nothing to do with you. So if they had nothing to do with her, maybe it's true they had nothing to do with me too. I think that might be. But that was really hard for me, because, you know, that meant that I was rejected. How do you live your life knowing that you were rejected by your own people? So I remember my mom struggling to make ends meet. And I think she did that most of her life, actually. And she's still doing it. Only that now, I'm there to help. My mom always wanted me to be a teacher. She wanted to be a teacher herself, but the society did not prioritize the education of girls, really, even did not even care much about girls going to school. Boys were given that much priority over their female counterparts. So she was schooled, luckily, up to 7th grade. But that was until her brother was old enough to go to school, and all resources that were supposed to educate her actually were directed to my uncle. That's her brother. And then her schooling stopped. Back when I was growing up, the only people that we could look up to in the society then were teachers. So she wanted me to be a teacher. And of course, when I looked around, I also wanted to be a teacher myself. Yes. And today, yes, I'm a teacher. I'm a high school teacher. Today, I'm a strong believer that girls should have access to quality education the same magnitude as their male counterparts, that's the boys. Yeah. And I think girls should get access to quality education that impart independent skills into them. Because I know that somehow, because my mom could not really fend for herself sometimes, that made her go through all those misery. The hands of men, who I supposedly called my stepfathers. You know, being married to thief that steals your own properties and sells to your friends. You cannot imagine how that feels like. So today, I work with an organization called Beats for Education, and our core mandate is to support the education of girls from vulnerable communities, communities that do still prioritize the education of boys over that of girls. And I live this. I am married and I have kids, and I'm committed to giving my girl the very best, just like I'm supposed to give my boy. I commit to making a change in society because of my mother. I am a good husband because of my mother. And I'm a teacher because of my mother.
2. Whole.
She's a graphic designer, and really she taught me very young that the world is a construct, and that construct is mutable and entirely at the mercy of the whims of humans and their ideas about how we should think about things. And so I've always sort of existed in the world with this awareness that everything about society is only this way because we've arbitrarily decided it should be this way. And I always feel like that perspective has been really interesting and fun because it allows you to see the absurdity sometimes in relying upon certainties of, for example, sort of taking for granted that the word tree means tree, even though we've sort of arbitrarily assigned this collection of consonants and vowels to mean a growing thing outside. But that growing thing outside isn't really a tree in the same way that a table isn't really a table, we just call it that. And that sort of thinking, I think, has lent this sort of delightful air of absurdity and fun to my life that I would not have had otherwise. I was always a bit of a overachiever and a bit of a workaholic as well, and I remember at one point she said, "Izzy, you don't have to be the perfect student if you don't want to be. I don't care what grades you get." And I remember saying, "I don't put pressure on myself because of you guys. I put pressure on myself because of me. I want to succeed. I don't really care what you guys want from me. I want to be, you know, the best." I was kind of, you know, intense overachiever mode at that point. And basically, it kind of felt like she was telling me to chill out a bit. And yeah, it felt very kind of the reverse of what you might think that sort of conversation would be. Our family was dealing with some difficultness with my younger brother and his mental health, and it put a lot of strain on myself and my parents. And at one point, while I was visiting for some kind of break during college, I ended up leaving to stay with a friend because I couldn't be in the same house with my brother anymore. And I ended up having a fight with my mother because I felt crushed by the expectations of maturity that were placed on me. I felt sort of that I was unjustly being expected to be more accommodating towards my brother and his behavior, despite how volatile and personally threatened I felt in his presence. And I think it wasn't really about anything, and it was more just about how frustrating and sad our situation was. There's not really anything in my personal life that I wouldn't talk to her about. I remember I came out to her when I was in fifth grade, I think. I was quite young, and that sort of, I think, established the tone of our relationship, which is just one that I felt like I could tell her pretty much anything. I found out that she used to throw like these massive parties at her house whenever her parents were away, and it was just such a quintessential teenager thing to do that It really made me imagine my teenage disgruntled mother instead of the woman that I know today. Also, the same thing happened, oddly enough. I get the same image whenever my mom tells me about her fashion choices as a younger woman. She told me about this period of her life where she only wore like jazz shoes. She liked the way that they looked. And something about that, it really just conjured a personality in my head and a specific image of a person that I didn't have before. In the first years of my life, I had a compromised immune system, and to be honest, my father's sort of useless when it comes to medical advice and stuff like that, and my mother was always there to help me find alternatives to sort of mainstream treatments when those failed me, and find a way to be my own person and to function and live in this world without being sick all the time. My father's policy in general with non-life-threatening ailments is to ignore it until it goes away. So that was sort of our policy with my poison oak for the first time that I got it. And it quickly became apparent that my allergy to poison oak is a lot more severe than his. And it was spreading, it wasn't going away. It just seemed to be getting worse and worse. And my mother picked me up from school and found that my arm had swollen about twice its original size because of the poison oak, seemingly. And so she rushed me to the hospital, and they found out that I'd become infected with staph infection and that they would have to give me antibiotics right away. And I think about that a lot because I feel like without my mother, I might have lost my arm. And so I am also well and whole and all of that because of my mother.
3. Care.
I was a very rebellious teenager. I did a lot of stupid things, and one day she just told me that I think we should go out and have a coffee and just, you know, eat a cake or something like that. And then we had a conversation about how she actually cares about me as a person, and she don't care about what I do anymore. So she told me that, okay, you can make your own decisions. I'm not going to interfere your life. I probably think she just decided to do that because otherwise I'm gonna go rebel against whatever she says, even though it's a good or bad thing. It doesn't matter. I mean, it did not matter back then. Then I thought, I guess she's just like a regular person, that she cares about me. Previously, I thought about her as like a, just like a rule-based person, that she doesn't have like a soul or anything, but she had like some kind of rules that I had to follow. And then we did bond. I guess I just needed to hear it. I guess the way she laughs, she is a very funny person, and she sometimes can be so cynical, and I like it when she's in that kind of cynical mood, because then I feel like she's like my friend but not my mother, so that we can have more friends-like conversations. In her life, I want her to be selfish sometimes and just take her time, just don't care about her children or work or anything. And it usually starts as a nice conversation, and then I got mad and I started to shout for some reason. It just doesn't make any sense. I'm working on it, trying to be calm, but yeah. Remember, at some point in my life, I was blaming her for not pushing any jobs or anything on me because of my failures in life. I was thinking, okay, if she was like a more strict mother, I could be more successful in life or something like that. It's unbelievable. I mean, I thank God I haven't told her that, but still. Yeah, now I feel like, okay, I was lucky because I never feel like I should make my mother happy with my grades or why, I don't know, with my lifestyle or with my job. And she prioritized being happy, and she repeatedly reminded me of, so money is not gonna make you happy all the time, or just friends doesn't not gonna make you all the time. Health is the most important thing. And then, you know, you just try to find happiness out of your job or money. When you think like that, you just feel less anxiety. So I knew as long as I'm happy, my mother is going to be happy. So I did not have that kind of pressure that I have to be successful in life so that she can be finally happy. I did not get that kind of feeling.
4. Not.
I don't know. I was probably in high school and she wanted me to help her because she was going to flip the mattress, because that's what you do in the spring, right? You flip the mattress and so you're not like sleeping in the same groove or whatever that is. And so I went into her room and we were on either side of the bed and she said, okay, on the count of three, we're going to, you know, lift it up and flip. And we did. And when it was up on its side, I looked down and on the box spring were a handful of condoms. And clearly that's where she and my dad hid the condoms. And so I couldn't see her face because the mattress was between us. And I just remember staring at them and she realized that they were there. And all of a sudden her hand reaches out from underneath the mattress and is sort of feeling around to try to grab the condoms. But at that point she realized it was too late. I had seen them and the mattress flopped back down onto the bed and we flopped on top of it and rolled around hysterically laughing. She was so mortified that I would, what? I don't know. Like, know that she and my dad were having sex. I mean, it was hilarious. It was hilarious. I did not think that the stork brought babies. I was pretty clear. But we didn't have conversations about anything like that. We didn't have conversations about sex or periods or giving birth or drugs or alcohol or anything. We just didn't have difficult conversations. We didn't have emotional conversations. If things like that came up, they came up once and then they never came up again. And so I find that that's not how I want to live. That's not how my wife and I live. And I don't want to be that kind of parent. So I feel like most often her influence is for me to be the kind of person that she's not. She was there. And I knew she was there and I felt her presence, but I don't remember her. And I think that when we've had conversations before about my sister and I being kids, she has said things like she's so sorry that she spent so much time cleaning the house. It was really important to her that the house was really clean. And she never played with us. And that's actually what I remember. I mean, I don't remember her ever sort of playing with us or really doing things with us other than maybe vacations. My mother was driving with me back to college. In my memory, that's what was going on. I was actually driving the car and I'd looked over and she was crying and I was so startled and I asked her what was wrong, and she said her grandmother died. And I said, what grandmother? I was 20 years old, and I had no idea that I had a living great-grandmother on my mother's side. And apparently it turned out that her mother's mother left the house when my grandmother and her sister were somewhere around 10 years old and never came back. But all those years later, she had died, and it was the first I was hearing about her, and my mother had never had any contact with her because after she left, for a long time, she didn't try to get back in touch with the family, and then when she finally did, my grandmother refused to have anything to do with her, and she refused to let anyone else have anything to do with her. including my mother and her sister. They weren't allowed to see their grandmother. They weren't allowed to speak her name. They weren't allowed to ask questions about her. So when she died, it was the first time that my mother told me anything about her. We've had a tough relationship since about 12 years ago when I turned 40 and I separated from my now ex-husband and I came out. And my parents had a really difficult time. They still struggle with it to some degree. And we have a lot of political differences. My parents are pretty conservative. They're also pretty religious, which has been a contentious point between us for a long time. I left the church a long time ago, even prior to coming out. And my parents and I don't really see eye to eye on a lot of issues. So leading up to the 2020 election, we had a really horrific time. And I just lost it. Probably didn't handle it extremely well. I wrote them a really searing letter and I didn't respond well to their response, which was defensive, of course, and I actually understand why, but it's just been really, really hard. And we've made small strides to repair things, but I find it really difficult to repair things when they don't really see the harm that they've done. I think that's the hardest thing for me, and I think that it's going to be a lifelong struggle between us, and I'm not sure it'll ever really resolve. I don't know if she wanted me to be like her, and when I was married to my ex-husband, I was a lot more like her. I was a stay-at-home mom. My kids were my world, and I was sort of, you know, the quintessential housewife, I guess, at that point. And maybe that's why we probably got along then the best we have ever gotten along in my life, because it was what she understood. I was a person she understood at that point, and I don't think I am anymore. I've had to make my own way. I've had to try to figure out how to be a parent kind of without the example I wanted. And it's not that they're horrible people, because they're amazing and they love me and I know that, but I didn't get parented the way that I feel like I needed to be parented. And I think that's been the hardest part, and I think that's why I am the kind of parent that I am and why I am the kind of partner that I am to my wife, because I wanted something different than the example that I saw.
Thank you so much for listening to Mother Mine. I'd like to say a huge thank you to all of our contributors. If you'd like to submit your thoughts about your mother, we'd love to hear from you. Just visit ourmothersourselves.com. That's ourmothersourselves.com, and click on Mother Mine for all of the details on how to participate. I'd like to say a huge thank you to each and every one of our Kickstarter backers. Your generous contributions have made Mother Mine possible, and I am so grateful. Mother Mine is created by me, Katie Semro, and produced in conjunction with Our Mothers Ourselves.
Buenas noches, mi amor. Duerme bajo el rosal.